Church to remember to pray for the ones that are missing today. We have several sisters in the church whose husbands need to serve the Lord. We want to remember them. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. You probably know what that's like, but we just want to remember that because it's very needful that the man of the house be man and be a godly man. And so we want to remember those. We want to remember the meetings coming up, that the Lord would just prepare for us a great blessing. Not that we want this to just receive blessings just from the Lord, but that we, all of us, would be able to draw closer to Him and that we'd be a better service to the Lord. So we just want to commit those things to Him in this service this morning. And I'm looking forward to the fellowship that we'll have in 2 weeks from now in our meetings. I believe that we'll have a good time. Just pray for good weather. And so let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading verses 1 and verses 2. Verse 1 and verse 2. You know, just to maybe lighten up things just for a moment, when I was in high school, we had an ag teacher. He had this saying. He would say, when the mind's ignorant, the body suffers. And which is kind of true, I would say. My grandpa always said, there's no such thing as a mistake. It's just negligence. Well, he always said. Remember that? He said, there's no such thing as a mistake or whatever. He said it was always negligence, or accident. He said there's no such thing as an accident. It's always negligence. But anyway, we had done a workout on the fence out here and piled all the stuff up in the corner there. And I came over yesterday, and we were going to haul it away. We were out there power washing the fence post and stuff to get the white paint off, the old paint off, and I wasn't paying attention, but those boards were behind me, and I stepped back on a board with nails sticking up on it. And you know what that does. But praise the Lord, went all the way through my boot and just left a little tiny red mark on the bottom of my foot. Didn't break, didn't even bleed. And so I've had that happen before when I was a kid. I know what that consists of. And so I just want to give the Lord the praise this morning for keeping that nail from going into my foot. And so it didn't have to happen that way. He could have let it go a different route, but for some reason He protected me from that, and I just want to thank Him for that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We want to pray for a moment to Him. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts to You this morning. Lord, to thank You for the abundance of Your grace and Your mercy that is with us, Lord. That You would come down out of Your wonderful abode, Lord, and take upon the nature of human flesh, Lord, and all the things that come with it, and that You would do that, Lord, to save us, to identify Yourself with us, to suffer in our place. And Lord, we want to give You thanks this morning for all that You've done in making it possible, Lord, that we could become You, that we could sit in the heavenly places, Lord, and that we could enjoy Your presence, enjoy one another. And Lord, that we would find Your presence, Your power working among us. Lord, that's the desire of our hearts, that we could just dwell with You and with one another in Your presence, Lord, experiencing all that You are. We ask, Lord, this morning that You would come into this service and speak to our hearts. Lord, give us strength. Lord, start here behind the pulpit. Lord, just give me that which I need that I may be in service to You this day. And then, Lord, go out to Your people who are here. Lord, reach out to them and touch them in their bodies and everything about them that they might receive from you this morning. Also, you commit this time into your hands. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I guess it's a blessing to any man to see his children singing and serving the Lord in church. And I was really enjoying my daughter's song there just a minute ago. And the words to the song, I think, is pretty good. So without his love, we're not much, are we? Amen. This morning, I'm just going to title this Look Away to Jesus. That's the title of the sermon Brother Branham preached. And I don't think that we want to try and just act like Brother Branham or pick, copy after him. But however, we are the final voice for the final age under our messenger, and we say what he said. I trust that we do. And so that's what was on my heart. I was listening to that sermon recently, and as the Lord began to deal with me in that direction. And so I just pray this morning that he will let me just minister to you the things that he had put on my heart about this. And so look away to Jesus. And that was a sermon Brother Branham preached in 1963 in December. Probably, I think it might have been the last sermon for the year. But we will talk about those things in just a moment. We spoke the other day about how that we had come, to the new city of Jerusalem. The mountain that we had come to was not the mountain that Moses and brought the children of Israel to. They all came there, and the presence of God came down and spoke to them from off the mountain. And it was a fearful thing, and Moses had, even Moses said that he feared and quaked. Now, it must have been quite a sight, must have been quite an event, that even Moses, who spoke to God and had appeared to him and all the things that had happened and brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and all that, for even Moses to be fearful. And it was such a holy place and such a holy sight where God had come down, that even if an animal came and up past the boundaries, they set up boundaries at the base of the mountain to keep animals and people away. And even if an animal came through, then it must die because it came into the presence of God. And so it must have been quite a sight, quite a thing. And the scriptures tell us in other places that, the glory that Moses had upon his face when he would go into the tabernacle, he'd come back out and he actually had a glory around his face. And the children of Israel didn't want that, they couldn't stand to see that. And they said, so Moses would have to put a veil over his face. How many remember that in the scriptures? The Bible tells us that all these things that we're talking about here, that veil that was on Moses' face and the glory that was shown there and all that mountain that burned with fire and the trumpet, that's the sound of a trumpet and all the things that were there, that all that was under the law and all that passed away because there was a greater thing coming. And so Paul, we read the other day where he said, you've not come to that mountain. You didn't come to a mountain that burned with fire and to all those things like that, but you've come to the mountain, this new city, Jerusalem. You've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to just the spirits of just men made perfect. And it gave quite a list of those things and said, that's what we've come to. And it gave the parallel and said, well, if the people who, when God spoke from earth then, if they resisted that, they didn't escape it. The judgment was upon them because they resisted the one who spoke from earth. And Paul says, well, then what's it going to be like if we resist him who speaks from heaven? So he who's speaking from a greater covenant, from a covenant that can deliver man from sin, who can deliver man from the nature, sinful nature of the flesh and those sorts of things, then certainly we must listen to that, because if we don't hear that, then we certainly are going to have the same condemnation or maybe worse than what they did who resisted it. So this is what we have come to, and I believe the Lord wants us to be very, very aware of what we've come to, what's laying at our disposal, what we have. And I know right now in this hour, it's just the way that it's been made. Satan's Eden has come to such a place where, it's really so fine-tuned and honed so that there wouldn't be any faith left if it was up to Satan.
Right.
I mean, he's got it all buckled up, what he thinks. And he would if it weren't for the election of God.
Amen.
Satan has got so things worked up so much in the flesh and in the world, the sinful side, and he's got things so wrapped up in the spiritual side of the churches that the scripture even said that they would show signs and wonders that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. And so I don't know about you, but I'm glad for election.
Amen.
I'm glad for election. And I know that the scripture said that all whose names are not written in the Lamb's book, in the book of life will wander after the beast. Well, I'm glad my name's written there.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's something there that God put in me and put in you to keep us from wandering after the beast. Amen. And going after the things that Satan would have us to go after. And so I think the Lord wants us to come to full understanding of what's given to us. And to have a great expectation of this hour. You know, we from the message or from things that God has given us, we should know what to expect in this hour. And I'm going to go ahead and say this, and because I've said it several times already, but I've purposely not been as firm about it. But I'm going to go ahead and say it. We must know that there will be a Judas spirit today. And Judas was one of them. Judas had part of the same ministry as the apostles had.
Yeah.
And Judas had his name on the book. Judas went out and cast out devils like the rest of the apostles. Isn't that what the scriptures say? And what Brother Graham tells us, and the scriptures confirm it. Judas had all those things. And yet Judas betrayed the very Lord, the very message that he had once walked in. He betrayed that, and we know what the scripture said about him. And we know that that must come again in this day. And so when we see things happening out there, it helps us to realize what hour we're in. So we should have great expectations, not just for the good things, but we should have an expectation knowing what's fixing to come at us. If people are having trouble now with the footmen are coming,
yeah,
what's it going to be when the horses are coming? Mm-hmm. Right? If we can't hardly stand it when a brother or a sister in the message that we love turn and walk away from it, what are we going to do when the whole world turns in a squeeze? Right. When, as we get to in a little bit, when Brother Graham said, this nation will exercise the power of the first beast, which was Rome. And you know what Rome did? This nation will exercise that. And I know that the Lord has promised that He'll rapture His people. But you know, there's people right now around this world being martyred for Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so I realize somewhere in God's economy, He's got a line salt drawn in the sand where He will rapture us, and we will not receive the full brunt of that strike out against which actually goes to the foolish version, actually goes to Israel, the wrath of the beast and the beast system and Satan, what he's trying to do. We won't receive the fullness of that. But I'm just telling you that the times are rough. It's going to get rougher. It's a time. It's a time of fire, of burning, to purify, and that's just what it is. And so we should have a great expectation for the things that are coming, not just good, not the things that are blessing, but also to know what battle is fixing to come, and to prepare, fortify ourselves in the promises. That's what God has given to us, a message and stored up food, spiritual food, for us. Spiritual food for due season. He's given us all those things, and that is what we are to do. You know, Elijah, he was fed by God, and look at the journey he made.
Right.
When God will feed you, it'll take you the way. Take you all the way. You don't have to worry about it coming short, but we've got to feed on what God sends us and not on something else. And I think Brother Daniel mentioned this, well, sometimes whenever people aren't hungry enough to come to the house of God, or they come and they just really don't feed on the Word, it's because they've been eating something else and they don't have an appetite. Because listen, when I have an appetite, don't get in my way.
Right.
Don't get in my way when food is there and I have an appetite. But if I don't have an appetite, you might have to force me to eat. It's simple.
Yeah.
And so there's just too much stuff out there for us to eat on, or for people to eat on. And we must be feeding on the right things to prepare us for what's coming. So look away to Jesus. Brother Branham preached that sermon. And in there, I believe Brother Branham was telling us a whole lot about what to expect. I believe that it's important for us to learn how to look away to Jesus. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But Brother Branham tells us in that sermon, he says, now the third pool has been identified among us. He said the first one was rightly identified. He rehearsed all these, and I'm not going to do that because it would take a great deal of time to do it. But he said the first one has been identified among us. It was told, and it happened to come to pass just like he said. The second one did, and he said, and now if you're real spiritual, you'll look and see. You'll know that the third pool has been thoroughly identified among us now. But he said, now you're going to see my ministry do something kind of odd. He said, nothing sinful, but he said, you're going to see it pull back a little bit and just kind of sit kind of at a lesser stage. In other words, what he's saying is you've seen this third pool happen five times now. You've seen five demonstrations here. It showed itself in force. Now you're going to see it pull back a little bit, so you're not going to see it in great force for a while until the squeeze tightens up. He said, then when that happens, you'll see it manifested in the fullness of His power. How many's following me that he said this? Okay, so he said, you'll see it manifested in the fullness of His power. And so he said, this nation will exercise that power, the same power as the first beast. And he said, so I must continue in evangelism. That's what he said. I'll continue in evangelism, waiting for that time to come. And then when that squeeze comes down, you'll see it manifested in the fullness of His power. I believe we're walking in the same steps that Brother Branham did. I believe that those things are manifested among us, and you see a certain period of time. And I believe there's a time where, as he says in the Church Age book, there will be a showdown.
Yeah.
There will be a showdown. If you haven't read that, where he said, pick up your pen and write. And he wrote this to the bride. And it's rather lengthy. If you haven't read that recently, go read it. Because there is a showdown coming. Everybody can say what they want to. They can mount up on all their horses and do all they want to. But there is a showdown coming for the believer that God is going to show Himself alive among His people. We know He's going to do that. No doubt about it. And so, Brother Ben said, you'll see that. That kind of hold back just for a while until that time comes, and then you'll see it manifested in the fullness of the power. And I believe that did take place, and we could talk a little bit about that, about how that would come forth in Brother Branham's ministry on after. Mm-hmm. But I just to move on in what I want to share this morning, the third pull was demonstrated in five major ways that he specifically talks about. I think it was manifested many more times than that. But he points out to us five specific ones, that the third pool. And five is the number of grace, right? Faith, F-A-I-T-H-U-R-A-C-E, J-E-S-U-S. So five is a significant number when it comes to those things. And so he said it was demonstrated five times, and he illustrated those in this sermon. He said the first time was with the squirrels, when they spoke the squirrels into existence. Brother Rem said, he would never preach on that scripture there that whatsoever you ask, right? He said he just wouldn't preach on that. And if you'll say it, if you'll ask and believe him, then you'll have it. And the Lord came to him that day out there when he was meditating on that scripture and showed him that scripture is just like the rest of them, that it's absolutely right. And so he spoke to squirrels, and there they were, and he actually shot them. And I'm assuming, I guess they ate them. It fails me to remember right now where he actually said, but I know the way Brother Ram was. He didn't waste game, so he ate the squirrels, or somebody did. The second time, if I remember correctly, was the resurrection of the fish. If that's not exactly the right one, but I believe that's the right one, was the fish that they were out fishing, and one of the fellows in the boat had pulled let the fish swallow, and I don't understand that. If you brothers know more about fishing than I do, can tell me how to do this, tell me. But Brother Ram said he let the fish swallow the hook too deep or whatever. Well, I've never been able to control how a fish swallows the hook. They just swallow it. So if there's a technique that is able to be done to keep them from swallowing the hook, somebody tell me, because I don't know how to do it. But I know what he's talking about, because sometimes they'll swallow it so far there's not even a hook sticking out. You have to use a pair of needle nose to get out in there and pull it out. But this fellow had done that, and when he was trying to get the hook out, he couldn't get it out, and he just absolutely pulled the gills and everything out, and the fish was laying there, and it was just a little bitty guy, just a little bitty fish, laying there on the water for about 30 minutes floating along, and of course, we know the rest of the story, how the Lord came, hovered over the boat there, and told him to stand on his feet, which I think would have been hard to do in a boat, too, and to give the fish back his life. And of course, there were people there that were witnesses to that. And so that was the second time. The third time was Sister Hattie Wright. We know the story about that, how that Brother Branham was with some men. And listen, respects and attitude go a long way. They were standing there sitting around the table. Brother Branham was telling the story about the squirrels. And he said, I don't know where they come from or whatever. He said, I guess he's Jehovah Jireh. He should just provide what he wants. And Sister Hattie had the right attitude. And she said, Brother Branham, that's exactly the truth. Well, when she said that right thing, said the correct thing, that pleased the Lord. And the Lord came, and I think that Brother Branham said one of the men, the anointing was so strong around the table, that one of the men, actually his face fell into his bowl of soup or whatever it was. I mean, he remembers that. He actually fell forward into that. And so he said everybody in there felt it. It shook the room, and the Lord said, give her what she wants. And so he said this was the first time it happened on a human. So now we know it can happen on a person. Not just fishes. They're not just squirrels or something like that. But on her, and he said, you speak it, whatever you want, and the Lord will give it to you. She didn't know what to speak for a moment. So what shall I ask for? He said, well, you know, there's your family, your sister, your mom, whatever. You need money, you name it. Ask for $1 million. And see if it don't come and land, be there in your lap. And so she asked for the salvation of her two boys. Now see, God would not grant. A lot of time we pray for stuff. We pray, and nothing happens. Well, perhaps we're praying wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. We should pray in agreement with the Word. But sometimes the Lord's got something he's dealing with us on, and so he has to deal with it a certain way. But you see, her, what she had in her mind, God granted to her that kind of request because he knew what was in her heart and what she'd asked for. Yeah. But see, if you had a man that was said, I'm going to ask for $10 million, he'd never get that kind of request. God would never grant that to him, right? Because he'd just turn around and destroy himself with it. And so, but she had the right attitude to the Word. She had the right attitude to the manifested Word for the hour. And God blessed her because of that. And she was given the desires of her heart. And so that was salvation for her two boys. That was the third time. The fourth time was the storm up on the mountain whenever he was up there. And they had said the storm was going to come through. You know, and you could look at these things and say, why would God do this? Why? Why would he have anything to do with speaking squirrels? What does that have to do with saving the world? Mm-hmm. It has everything in the world to with saving the world if that's what God wants to do, right? You know, so he can do whatever he wants. Same way with the fishes and that sort of thing. But the storm there on the mountain, they were told that it was going to come. And of course, Brother Branham tells the story about how again, the Lord told him to speak to the storm, and it would obey him. And I'm glad he used wisdom when he spoke it. He said, son, you shine normally for 4 days until we leave. He used wisdom on how to say that. And so that was the fourth time, and then the fifth time was with his wife, with the tumor in her side. It actually had grown. He said, I felt it. I saw the effects of it. I felt it with my own hands. It was in my own household, my own family. Lord, he was praying. He said, it was my own people. And I seen it work, this third pull, where the Lord told him, said, you speak, and it'll be just like you say. And Brother Branham said, let it be that just before the doctor's hand touches her, that it would go away, disappear. And that's exactly what happened. That was the five times that the third pull was manifested there. And Brother Branham, when he come to this point in Look Away to Jesus, this right after the opening of the seals, right about the time that he began to preach the sermons of I Indict This Generation, so he knows that the message being rejected, the seals being opened, and the world is rejecting, the church world is rejecting the message. And so he's come to that point. And he says, I've got to tell you something in this sermon. He says, I've got to tell you some things here. I've got to say some things I haven't said thus far, what he said. And so this is when he begins to express this. He says, this third pool is manifested here, and again, in the fullness, it'll come in the fullness of his power after the squeeze. But he goes through and he tells rather lengthy all these five occurrences here. He tells some other things that are there, but he shares with us that. And Brother Branham says, now see, anything that's spoken, it must come to pass. Now I realize he's not saying just anything that's spoken, but what he's saying, anything that's spoken in this third pool, when it's spoken, it must be, it must come to pass just exactly not what it's going to be. So now I'm trying to bring this all together. We have great events on the horizon coming our way because we know it's in scriptures. We know he's foretold it right here. We know what's coming. And so we should have an expectation of what's fixing to happen and what God is going to do on our behalf. And we want to prepare for that. And what we will find is that in what's coming, everything that's going to be for us is going to be wound up in this third pool. In the power of this third pool, that's what's going to be laying there for you and I. Not something else. It's not going to be, we're not going to find our help off out somewhere else. We're going to find our help in what's been identified among us so that we know what to expect and we know what to turn to. So the title of this is Look Away to Jesus. So he's telling us, here's what's coming. Here's what's identified among you. Now you know what to do when it comes. You know what to expect when it comes. So that's what he's telling us. And so he goes back and he shows there that in the sermon he says, when this world falls apart, look away to Jesus. He didn't say just look to Jesus, but he said look away to Jesus.
Right.
So when he says that, he's saying look away from something else,
right,
to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So when this great squeeze comes, when these things that are coming begins to unfold upon us, look away from those things and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. For what he says he will be for us at this time. And so we want to look to him and look to what he is. Now when he was here on earth, he did these things. This speaking squirrels into existence, I'm just going to tell you what it means to me, but he spoke food into existence. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ do that when he was here?
No.
He absolutely did. When the fish was resurrected, we know there was resurrection in his ministry, but I also want, for your sake, I want to point out to you, because it might mean more to you to say this, and that is to tell you that fish, when it was resurrected, it was really restoration. That fish was restored back to its original condition. And so God is a God of restoration, not just resurrection, but restoration. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was a God. He was there and demonstrated resurrection, restoration, to restore people back to what they had fallen from. He was that in our Bible. Mm-hmm. With Sister Hattie Wright, being salvation. That was what that third pool happened, was salvation to her family. Salvation to wayward, rebellious children. Think about it. That's what was there, was the power of God present, not on the boys' attitude, not on whether they were good or bad or whatever, or had done something right, had nothing to do. It was strictly on mommy's attitude toward this vindicated word. That's what made the difference. And it was her attitude that brought the grace of God down, because we all need grace. She brought the grace of God down to where he granted to her the desire of her heart. And I would say that if we could find ourselves in that same position where we have needs like that, that if our heart is right and we have the right desires in our heart and the right attitude toward the Word, we could pull the grace of God down through this third pool at this crucial hour and have God commit to us the thing that we want. He did it for one. He has to do it for us if we can meet the same criteria, right?
Right.
He has to do the same thing. And so she brought down on the grace of God. And so that was salvation being brought. So the third pool can bring food for the table if it needs to. The third pool can bring resurrection or restoration, right? The third pool can bring salvation to wayward children.
Right.
Can certainly do it. The fourth time was being that storm. So now here's the elements beating down upon the prophet and his camping friends. So the storms, the elements, whether it be tornadoes, snowstorm, ice storms, whatever it might be, this to me is just saying that that third pool can deal with the weather and the elements. Jesus did it with a storm when he was in the boat. So once again, we see that all these things that were manifested in our day, we see it in the scriptures that it was a characteristic of the Son of Man then, and here it is today, showing he's with us today. The same one that walked up and down the shores of Galilee then, proving the Word of God, must have been among us today, proving the same Word.
Amen.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. It made no difference how many critics there are. He was still here making it so.
Amen.
And so the last one was with his wife, and it was healing for her body. Not just healing, but a tumor. Absolutely something that's just absolutely growing and taking the life and taking cells and nutrients that's supposed to be for her and was absolutely forming its own body. And so the third pool was able to address that and bring healing. And of course, we know that was what he did then. And so here we have food, we have resurrection or restoration, we have salvation, we have the ability for it to speak to the storms and make them obey, and absolutely healing. And so I want to ask you something. If you needed to survive, if God just stuck you off in some remote corner of the earth and you just needed to survive, and you had all these things right here granted to you, what else would you need?
Right.
You wouldn't need anything else. Because everything that you could possibly need for your to live and live happily, you would have right here underneath these manifestations. And so the point I want to show out here is that these five manifestations here, they were Jesus Christ in the Bible, and they're Jesus Christ today in the midst of his body, bringing to pass his identification among us, showing that he's here. And so he's in the Bible and identified in the third pool. Satan would have us, whenever this time comes and we need to look away to Jesus, Satan would have us be totally confused in what to look for.
Yeah.
He would want us to look away, and we're going to be religious like Cain was religious. We're going to be religious like the rest of the world is religious. That's what Satan would want, see? And we would say, okay, it's time to look to Jesus. And we would turn around and we'd try to look to three gods. Or we'd try to look to some organization, some denominational religion. We'd turn and look toward that. And what we would find out is in turning to look to that, you don't find the help that you need, because God is found in the living Word.
That's right.
He's not found in denominational creeds and that sort of thing. And so the help that we would need would not be found in that. So this whole sermon, Brother Bram says, now when you look away to Jesus, what do you look for? What do you see when you look? What is your expectations when you turn away from this and you're going to turn to someone for help, and it's the Lord you're turning to? What do you see? Do you see an organization? When you think of Christ, do you think of a church system, and that's your God? That's how you feel like that you meet God in your church? Do you look at that? Do you look at him as three gods? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? So what do you look at? How are you going to, when you go to get this help, what are you thinking of when you do that? And so Brother Ram's pointing out that what you want to look to him to be is that you're going to find him to be exactly what he says he's going to be, what his Word says he is, and we just found out what he is in his Word. He is all these manifestations we found, and he's more than that, but definitely those things found under the third pool. There's got to be a reason why it was those five specific events that got laid before us in this day, and that have scriptural tying, that it's him again doing these things, and they happen and thoroughly vindicated among us. has to be a reason why those five, because I believe that in those five manifestations, when we look at it, we'll find anything that we need for what's coming,
Amen.
No matter what. And if he'll do it, if he did it back then, and he identified himself to do it today, and we got a promise he'll do it in our day when that squeeze comes, why would we expect to look for anything else? So when this unfolds and we need to look away to Jesus, we're going to look to the promises of what he said he would be for us in his word.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world doesn't know to look for this, what I'm talking about. They don't know how to look to Jesus. They won't know how to look away. They won't know nothing about it. Because remember, this is the third pool. And there's no public showing. They're not going to know how. Can I explain to you how? No, I'm just telling you but I know that embedded in these words is what we need.
Right.
Embedded in this that has unfolded with that prophet. It's there, whether we can describe it or not, that doesn't matter. But the dynamics of what we need laying beneath that, laying there on in the words, on the tapes, and in the sermons that was given, the dynamics of what we need is right there. And it's what we feed upon, and it's brought down into our experience by feeding on the Word of God. He is the third pool. And remember, these pools were techniques used to bring in. He was a fisher of men.
Yeah.
And so the first pool was to cause people to respond to the gospel. The second pool the same way. And the third pool was the same way. But you realize that the first pool spoke to a certain group of people. And the second pool spoke to even another group of people, even deeper. But this third pool speaks to an elect people. It doesn't speak to the ones the first one spoke to so much. And it doesn't even speak to the ones the second one spoke to so much. This third pool is for a specific group of people. And we know it was for the rainbow trout. Right? The covenant, God covenant fish, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah.
So we find out that there was, God was concerned about fish, and he had fish for food, and here it is in our day, same thing. And so we know that it's for a specific people, but it's not a public showing. So don't expect the world to be able to talk to you. Don't expect the world to be able to tell you anything about it. It's not for them. It's not committed to them. And they know nothing about it. Satan knows nothing about it. That's a quote from the prophet. Satan just don't know anything about it, right?
Amen.
He can't, because if he could, he'd try to mimic it. So we got to condition ourselves to remember this, that when this hour that is approaching upon us, that we're already experiencing the front end of it, we want to take that, and we want to analyze it with the Word of God, with what the message has said is coming and what we should do. And so we don't want to go to the world for help. We don't want to just consult just anyone for help. We want to consult the Word of God. We want to look away to Jesus for help in this time.
Yeah.
And see him to be exactly what he promised he would be. But mainly what I want to show you is that he will be exactly what he manifested himself to be in this hour under those third pool manifestations.
Yeah.
And so Satan would have us look and think it was this or think it was that, look at this and that and something else. But the Lord Jesus Christ brought us an end time message that changed all that.
Yeah.
So an end time message has changed our expectations. And how many of you know if you get what you expect?
Right.
That's right. You get what you expect. So I'm saying this because we must analyze our daily walk. We must analyze the thought, there's a spirit that we walk in. How many of you know that?
Yeah.
We got to analyze the way we walk and ask ourselves, am I really walking continually in these truths? Am I really thinking my answer is in Christ? Or do I spend all my time worrying about what I'm facing?
Right.
So we don't want to do that. We want to turn to him and begin to let these promises roll around in our spirit and in our conscience all the time, and saying, Jesus Christ, I look away to Jesus because he is my hope and my stay. And all the things that the Word has committed to us, the world's not going to know how to do that anymore. There was an age when people could do that, but they're not going to know how to do that now. And God has sent us a message to change our expectation and to change our ability so that we can walk in the Word of God in the daily meditating on the Word in a fashion the world will not be able to do.
Yeah.
And so we have this consolation of knowing that He will be what we need when that time comes. The very thing, the very groanings that we have in us. I mean, it has desires, and I don't mean just something you want, but I mean, down inside there's a core spiritual burning. Mm-hmm. Right down in here that continually burns. And that's there for a people, for a purpose. It's for a purpose that God has put that there for a purpose, because He's going to bring that to pass. Because that's what's more important to you than a new car or a new house or whatever it is you might need. That down inside there is more important. And you'll find yourself through the daily battles and the daily dealing with things that are coming your way, and you spend all your time and all your mental horsepower processing that, that when all that gets quiet, you hear that down inside still turning.
Yeah.
It's always there. Satan wants to keep you busy. He wants to keep your mind occupied. And God, it's not as easy for God to speak to a busy mind.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but when that's why He wants to keep everybody busy, so that they don't stop and hear that still small voice that's telling them they need to be. But that's the way it works. But we have a core burning down in our heart of the Word of God that we want to see brought to pass in our day for the benefit of bringing God's people in, bringing our loved ones in, that sort of thing. And God knows that. God knows that's there. He's not petty. He knows that we are but dust. He understands our frame and that we have weaknesses and things like that. Just like I said last week, He understood John the Baptist there in the prison. He understood what that man was going through. He knew that he was on a mountaintop preaching the gospel and then was down in the valley in prison fixing to get his head cut off. He understood what kind of mental implications that would bring upon a person. And He did not degrade or de-Christianize John by saying, "Why are you doubting?" He didn't say that. He kept John right up there where he was, right in the position of where he was in the gospel, as being greater than anyone else born of woman. And so we know that's the way it works. God's not petty. He understands our frame, and He understands that we have times that we are just totally consumed with what Satan throws at us. Or totally consumed, not by what Satan throws, but just from the daily responsibilities that come upon us.
Yeah.
Even Paul talked about the responsibilities that he had that was so heavy upon him.
Amen.
So God knows that. God understands that. And God's not even worried about that. He's looking down there at that very core of your heart of what it is you truly desire. And if that's right, if you're desiring the right thing, like Sister Hattie did, then you've got an answer coming from God. It's on its way.
Amen.
And so that core of desire is there for a purpose. And you'll find out that God's going to fulfill that desire, and He's going to use the third pool to do it. But don't expect it to be some public anything. Don't expect it to be some great something. I believe in services where the power of God comes in, and there's a shout in the camp, and there's a rejoicing. I believe in that. I believe in the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, and it should be in the midst of a church. I believe all that. But I will tell you, in the midst of all that, that's not what it is that's going to get you through.
Amen.
What's going to get you through is something that speaks in a still small voice. What's going to get you through is something way down inside the engine room that knows that it knows that it knows. That's what's going to get you through. And it's not going to be how good the services are, though we want some good services, and God will give those to us if we do our part and our attitude and approach and everything is right. All that will happen, but it's not going to be that. It's not going to be in the flashes of lightning and the strong wind and the whirlwind or hurricanes or whatever it might be. It's not in all that. It's going to be in something way down inside that's right there that's happening and nobody knows it. Nobody knows it but the person who's in that secret room with Him. The person that went in that room knew what was going on in that room, but nobody else did. See, and that's the third pool. It is, if ever, and it's always been this way, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's always been that way throughout the ages that made a person redeemed. But if there was ever an age where it's really going to be that way to the full extent, is right now. is to enter into this relationship of this third pool dynamics that's here now to change us. It'll be when that person individually moves into that and they know that something's happening and something's down in there changing and moving, just like a woman will know something's in her when she's pregnant, and nobody else might know, but she'll know. It's just like that. It'll be changing. Something will be happening. And that's what means more to you than anything else. And I'm telling you that because I want you to expect good services. I want you to expect God to do great things in a couple of weeks when we have our meetings and that sort of thing, and every meeting after that. I want that because we want the power of God. We want healings. We want all that. But while all that's going on, I want to tell you that you should be seeing something down inside that's really becoming anchored, and you see that it's anchoring in such a way that whether I have good meetings or not, or whether I have fellowship meetings, or I have a raise at work, or my house continues to, the roof doesn't leak, or whatever it might be, you see that something down in there is anchoring to this word and hanging on to it regardless of everything else. It ties back to what I was saying the other day. Everything that can be shaken will be. Yep. And if we find ourselves with confidence in Ed Biskel, and that's a problem with God in our experience, something will have to happen between us and Ed Biskel.
That's right.
And I'm saying that he's a godly man. I'm just using it as an example because I have a great respect for him. But if it's that or anybody else, if there's something there, I don't care if it's your wife, your friends, your cell phone, whatever it is, those things have to decay so that all that's left is that little, in that tiny room experience, that third pull going on just between you and God, with no public showing, nothing that's going to be shown.
Yeah.
That's what it's got to come to. Our experiences have to come to that. And we'll have good services, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands that it's a personal relationship that's got to be there, and that's got to be where it's anchored. And when it anchors, it has to anchor according to what we know is here. That same living word to do what he said he would do in all things. And so, yeah, those manifestations were out open. And we believe there will be a showdown. But by the time that showdown comes, it's going to be too late for the world.
Yeah.
When that showdown happens, it'll be over with for them. And so, we want to look away. We want to look away from these temporal giants that are before us. Every time you get a pain in your body, it looks like a giant. That's right. If it to you, it does.
Yeah.
Right. Every time you have a pain in your body and it's more than just for a moment, it stays with you for a few days, then it becomes a giant because your imagination, Satan puts his finger over on that imagination and he wants you to imagine that this is something horrible. Because once again, he will consume you with that. And so, whether it's a pain in your body, or it's a loved one that's giving you trouble, or a wayward child, or whatever it might be, we view that as giants. But the last time I looked in the scriptures, God knows how to deal with giants.
Amen.
He knows how to deal with them. And so, I don't care what's standing before us, we want to look away from that.
Right.
And look to the Lord Jesus.
Right.
I don't care if Goliath is standing in front of you. Look away from that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to what? Look to what he said he is in this hour, in that fivefold manifestation there of his presence. He's shown us what he's here to do. He's ready to do every bit of those things that we just mentioned there a while ago that Brother Branham expressed to us. He's ready to do all that. So we look away from these temporal giants, these things that look so hard, that are so bad, just look away from those. Look to his promise and say, by his stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
By his stripes I'm healed. And whatever else it may be, we've got a promise that we and our offspring, I don't care what the devil says. There are times when it looks overwhelming at what God has done with young people and with the world, and especially young people in the message. This looks like it overwhelms to see what's happened there. But God's a God of restoration. God's a God of resurrection.
Yeah.
Right? God is a God of creation, of healing, and all those things. And so I don't care what we're facing. Let's turn away from those things and look toward the promise. Look to Him who is the answer to these things. So look away from those temporal giants. Look away from sickness. Look away from pain in your body. Look away from confusion. If you don't understand something, it's fine, because God's not the author of the confusion. If you're confused about something, you know it's the work of the devil. Because God is not the author of confusion. It doesn't come from Him. So if we'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that confusion will have to go away. Might take time, but it has to be. So we want to look away from those things and look away to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look away from a world full of wanderers. Because that's what Cain was. Cain was absolutely told by God how to worship God and be accepted, and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, knows that. And he turned and he walked away from God. My wife and I were talking yesterday, and you know, all this debate and stuff about, especially on Facebook, about this alternate lifestyle. Is it, you know, should Christians, how should they deal with that or whatever? Well, the Bible, if you want to try the case with the Bible, you'll find out real quick, the Bible tells you exactly what it is. That when they knew God, and they glorified Him not as God, but they changed Him into something like an image of corruptible beast or whatever, that sort of thing, then He turned them over, right? And so we were talking about that, and you'll find out that without God, human beings without God are corrupted. And they, without intervention, will go just as hard to all that nonsense, all that stuff out there that we're talking about. They'll go right to that. So all God has to do is just pull His hand off of humanity, and they go right off into that stuff.
Yeah.
And so whenever they turn their back on Him and walk away, they don't have a foundation anymore. They don't have a place they can call home. They are as vulnerable as a piece of cotton blowing in the wind. They are as vulnerable, and whatever spirit wants to attack them, that's the direction they're going to go. If an alcoholic spirit wants to attack them, that's the direction they go. And the next guy might get a homosexual spirit, and that's the way they go. Because they turn their back on God, then that they are vulnerable, because we are sheep. We must have a shepherd. And when the shepherd is smitten or run away or whatever, and we have, then guess what? We get a shepherd, and it's evil spirit. And so it takes us these different places, and that's what it is. It's because when they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, Romans 1. And then so then they just went right to dishonoring themselves among themselves and doing those things and reaching such a degraded mindset that not only do they know that there's judgment coming upon that lifestyle, they have pleasure in them that do that anyway. That's what Romans says. So there's no question about whether the Bible has addressed that issue or not. And so what you find out, all these people are wanderers. They have no, they've been taken into whatever direction, and they're just moving at whatever the spirits are that attack them, and they became like Cain. They just wanderers, moving about, no place. I'm talking about spiritual root in themselves, a place where we can drive down the stake and say, this is who I am, but I've got spiritual identification. They're not. They're just drifting all over the place. And so we want to look away from this world. They have nothing to offer. Look away from them and look to the Word of God. I read somewhere the other day where somebody referred to the Bible as some ancient book. That ancient book has got more, has much prevalence now, much truth and reality now as it ever did.
Yeah.
Because truth doesn't change.
Yeah.
Truth does not change. You can wait a million years and that ancient book will still be right.
That's right.
It'll make a bit of difference. And so we want to look to that ancient book. Look through the Word of God at these promises that God gave us. We don't want to look at our ideas, because our ideas, we're prone to get into reasoning and stuff like that. And you can't reason God. You can't reason the work of God. You can't reason the ways of God. And my wife and I were talking yesterday about it, some of these things, not the sermon, but just some of these topics here. And I was telling her, I said, you know, if I had an opponent that I needed to fight, and he was wearing some shoes that had steel spikes in the bottom, ice like ice picks sticking out the bottom of them, and he invited me over onto an ice skating rink to fight him, guaranteed I'll lose because I got slick shoes on. Now, I know that's just a carnal way, but I'm telling you, that ice rink, and that is reason. Yes. Satan wants to invite you to his rink, ice rink of reason. And if you'll step over there and reason, you're going to be defeated every time, because that's right where Satan defeated Eve. You can't reason the Word of God. You can't say, well, why would God judge people? Why would God do this? Why would he do that? Brother Graham said, why would he use his power to curse a fig tree when he had all these people that were sick? Why would he raise a dead fish when Brother Graham had all these spastic children on his list? Well, you can't reason those things. Why would he have that? He would come through that multitude. You couldn't even number them. And he prayed for one man and then went on and left everybody sick. And Brother Graham said, a lot of people have human compassion. He said, doing the will of God, that's God's way of doing it, see? It's to do the will of God. And that goes beyond the sympathy of man to look upon a situation and say, oh, I feel pity, I feel sorry. Well, wait a minute. We don't want to submit our feelings and our thoughts to pity, human pity. We want to submit to, thus saith the Lord, the will of God. And sometimes the will of God says, let that alone, because they're going through a spanking, and you've got to leave that there for a while so they'll learn their lesson. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes that's why our prayers don't get answered, because we're going through a whipping, and then at some point God takes care of whatever it is. It's a trial we go through or whatever. And so we don't want to look to turn to our reason or whatever. We want to turn to the promises of God and get away from our own ideas or our own emotions. And just as with everything that is in us, to go to thus saith the Lord. Go with the promises and go with what has been identified among us. And what I think Brother Branham said, we should begin to see him in everywhere we look. We should begin to see the Lord Jesus in everything. You know, it's like I've said, serpent seed or Godhead or whatever. When that truth finally revealed to you, then you see it all through the Bible. It's everywhere you look. Everywhere. But when you finally get all this is in the right perspective in us, we ought to begin to see God in everything. Even in the person that's going through the trial, and we might not in our intellect understand, but when we convert our and look to the promises of God, then we can look down on the same situation and say, God is on the move. Right? God is on the move. And that's what he wants us to do. We should begin to see him everywhere we look. And when you see him, joy should fill our hearts. So the scripture tells us, for the joy that was set before him, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and run this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, right? Looking to him, because he was our example. Yeah. Paul said, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have to run this race with patience. You're going to have to lay aside the weights and the sins. And many people still stuck there.
Yeah.
You can't even lay aside those things. You can't really run. But if you have laid those aside and you're running, know assuredly that you will have to run with patience the race that is set before you. And while you do that, it would be good if you would look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him. Wonder what that joy was. What was it that he saw that was set before him that was so joyous to him that he would be willing to run the race with patience? I believe it was you and I.
Yeah.
I believe he saw us. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He just endured the cross. And you know what? When Jesus was committed to those soldiers, when he got committed to that kind of death, He wasn't the one specifying what they were going to do to him. When he committed himself to that, those men were in control. When I say that, I know they received it from heaven, but you understand what I'm getting at is When he submitted himself, he submitted himself to the death, not just death, but death of the cross. This is speaking of the significance of that death. And there's other scriptures that talk about that. And so even to the death of the cross, the scripture said. And so he endured that cross. In other words, he endured a blank check that the enemy had been given for them to fill out what they wanted. However, whatever the trial wanted, they wanted to put it on him. Whatever it had to be, they had it. And that was his cross.
Yeah.
And he endured that. Whatever was coming his way, he endured that to the end. So there was no place where he could say, okay, I've endured it for a while, but I don't want to endure anymore. He endured it all the way. And so we want to do the same thing. We want to see if God can show us through these promises the joy that we have coming.
Amen.
The joy of our loved ones. The joy of what happens when this showdown comes. The joy of seeing what happens whenever divine love is projected. We want to see if we can see a vision of that joy. And the only way you're going to see that joy is not looking through intellectual eyes, not through looking through the pain and the sorrow and the suffering, but to look through the promises of Word, of the Word of God. The Word said we have a joy coming, and he saw a joy, and it caused him to endure with great patience the cross that was put before him. And we want to do the same thing. We want to run that race, endure with patience. Whatever Satan sends our way, whatever God allows to come our way, endure that. And it said he despised the shame. Despising, you know that what that word means to us. But in this particular case here, what it meant was he didn't let it bother him. He actually embraced the shame that come with it. To realize that if it takes pain and sorrow and suffering to save our loved ones, embrace the pain that comes with it. Because the joy that we have at the end, as Peter says, can't even be compared to the sufferings we have now, then we don't want to let all the shame and sorrow and everybody saying, you bunch of Branhamites, or whatever it is they're saying, or whatever persecution you're receiving, don't let that bother you. Just like water off a duck's back. Embrace that and say, you know what? I know that if I'm receiving persecution, then I must be doing something right. If Satan wanted to put me in his targets, or put you in his target, then you must be a problem to his kingdom. Then you just embrace that and endure that for the joy that's set before you. Decide, it said, he despises shame and he is set down at the right hand of God. We know that right hand means authority.
Right.
So here he went. He had a joy to set before him. But hey, if you'll suffer this, you'll have a redemption, a possession that you redeem. And he looked at that and he endured that cross. And with patience, he went through it, despised the shame, and the end result was that he sat down in a position of power and authority and had been given those that was in that joy that was set before him. And he's given us the same promise in this hour. So, as we are nearing this end in this pride movement, we're walking the walk of Jesus in his last hours. We got to remember that. We're walking, and more prophecy is going to be fulfilled about us in the last few minutes, just like it was him.
Right.
But we're going to walk, and if there was ever a time it looked like he had been forsaken, everybody could look and say, he saved others, but him, he can't even save himself. And, you know, let him call for Elijah. Let's see if Elijah is going to come and help him. He cried for thirst. He went to that, see? And we have to share with him in that suffering. Scripture says if we don't suffer with him, we won't reign with him.
Yeah.
So we have to suffer with him. We have to be despised and rejected. And just remember, we are walking up Calvary right now. We're having our Garden of Gethsemane. If we haven't already, we will. And that Garden of Gethsemane, crying out to God and finally submitting ourselves to the will, we're probably all still there, probably. But once we commit ourselves to that, then what did we commit ourselves to was the actual crucifixion. And so you see, we're walking that walk. But we have a joy that's before us.
Amen.
Because the promises of God said that he will give us those desires of our heart, that we and our children will be there, and that there is going to be a showdown. God has proven it by His Word that the third pole is among us. And He's told us what He will do. And we can expect that no matter what. I know that as I said, we're walking up Calvary and we have a crucifixion and all that sort of thing. But He has promised us that He is going to work on our behalf. And we believe that. We see Him happen. We see Him doing things among us anyway. But just to have confidence to know that whenever you are facing anything that comes your direction, look away to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He promised He would be. You'll never come out on the short end of the stick by surrendering to the Lord by no means whatsoever. He will do great things. And we believe that.
Amen.
Amen. We just want to bow our hearts to Him as we get ready to close the service. Lord, we thank You this morning for the truths, Lord, that are in Your Word. We thank You, Lord, because in this hour that You brought a manifestation on the scene that would take a Bible that most of the world thought was a historical book, and Lord, You made it come alive in our day. Not just in the life of a prophet, but Lord, even us in our own walks, You met us in it and proved to us, Lord, that this Bible was correct. And Lord, You've given us a confidence in our own life that the revelation of Jesus Christ is correct to such a degree, Lord, that many times we wonder just what kind of price we will pay, but Lord, we feel committed to pay that price, whatever it is. And so, Lord, we realize we live in this tremendous hour, a tremendous time that is upon us. And I just pray, God, that You would visit this group of people and give them, Lord, the joy in their heart. Let them be revisited by the message and by the things that You promised. Let them see that joy that is before them. Lord, that they would walk with joy each day as they go through trials. Lord, that You would just visit them with strength and wisdom, Lord, and most of all, that You visit them with the peace of God. And Lord, that they once again would regain in their own spiritual walk the ability to say no to the flesh, the ability to say no to things that hinder and occupy their time. And Lord, to take those little special moments that they have throughout the day and spend it with You. Lord, I know it'll never go wrong whenever they do that. I ask, Lord, that You would minister to them with great portion of grace to allow them to have those experiences in their life each day. And Lord, as we get ready to close, just pray that You would go with us today in our fellowship, Lord, in our travels, whatever has to be done, we ask for Your divine protection, Lord. Commit this time and these people into Your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad for what God has done in this day, because I wouldn't want to face what we're facing now in this hour and only have the understanding that I had back in Pentecost. Because I wouldn't have any more now than I had back then, because they didn't have anything else to share, right? But I'm glad to know God, a living Word. I'm glad to know that, and I know to the world this would be terrible to say this, but the message that we listen to is living, just like this Bible's living. Not because it was the Word spoken by man, but it was Word spoken by Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, revealing Himself in our day. And so it's a living Word, and I'm glad to know Him in that capacity. I'm glad to know that the greatest comfort that I get is from the Word of God. It'll touch you at a time whenever nothing else will. Let's all stand as we get ready to sing a worship song before we leave. If you need prayer, we certainly want to pray for you. I believe God wants to answer your prayers.
This Jesus, I really want. soul.